Evening edition of the Stingray Show is brought to you by our newest advertising partner. Let me tell you about the best place to get great looking game day gear. J&J Apparel is your trusted local source for one of a kind officially licensed collegiate apparel. These guys aren't just guessing, they're living it. J&J's polos, tees, and hats show what happens when true fans design the merch. Serving Alabama, Auburn, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss fans since 2004. Get it online at jnjapparel.net. Once again, that is jnjapparel.net, the downtown Tuscaloosa location, or at trusted local stores across the Southeast. Check out J&J Apparel today. Another one bites the dust, as they say from the old song, as Billy Napier and the Florida Gators have parted ways as of yesterday. Billy Napier finishes his Florida career with a record of 23 wins and 22 losses. His first game as a Florida Gator was a win over Utah, and his last game as a Florida Gator was a win over Mississippi State. Former Florida wide receiver Chris Doering will join me on this edition of the Stingray Show to talk about Billy Napier's exit and what is next for the Florida Gators right now on this edition of the Stingray Show.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out, you're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
No, I mean, look. No. Hey, Stingray, here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. And let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, I want to welcome you inside the Monday evening edition of the Stingray Show. And it was announced yesterday afternoon that Billy Napier was fired by the Florida Gators. And he had a season of turmoil there while at Florida. He never really could get over the hump of winning a road game against a ranked opponent. And to break down Billy Napier, and then moving forward, here is the analyst and former wide receiver for the Florida Gators, Mr. C.D. Chris Doering. Chris, how are things with you, and what are your initial thoughts of Billy Napier parting ways with the Florida Gators?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just a matter of time. I don't think it was a matter of if, but when. And a lot of fans had gotten to the point where they were ready to move on. I think a lot of times with these situations, things can become toxic to a point that it's untenable. And I thought Scott Strickland had to make a move. I think yesterday or Saturday's game against Mississippi State kind of encapsulated what the whole tenure of you know, his time in Gainesville has been. It's been moments of looking really good. It's having feelings of being capable of so much more, but yet, you know, not ever feeling like you can get away from the inevitable other shoe dropping where something's going to happen to prevent you from you know, maybe pulling off a big upset or getting some of those wins that you need to be a legitimate college football playoff team. And I think when you look around the country, look around the conference, look what Vanderbilt's doing, look at what Indiana's doing in the Big Ten, you know, that precipitated the firing of James Franklin as well. If other schools like that can do it, Florida, Penn State, you know, the major schools that have the major booster commitments can do it. And I think the time for patience is up. And that was the case in Gainesville.
Chris, you are there and you live in Gainesville. You have seen this, and especially being a Florida alum, why did the Billy Napier experiment not work out at Florida, in your opinion?
I think this is a coach that was beloved by his players, had done a great job of recruiting a really talented roster. The fact that you've seen glimpses of what they can do within games, and even, you know, pulling off a victory like they did a couple weeks ago against Texas, those things, while being great, are also indictments of, you know, if you're capable of doing this, why don't you do it all the time? And you know, I think the lack of development of some of the top players, I think at the end of the day, the stubbornness, the unwillingness to hand over the play calling duties. You know, Florida fans were frustrated with offensive inconsistencies and the penalties that continue to be repeated over and over again. Disorganization on the sideline, mismanagement of late game situations. Those things all continued to be, you know, occurrences over and over again, to the point where Florida fans just were not willing to think that anything better was possible, and Scott Strickland obviously felt the same way.
You know that program like the back of your hand, because you played there, you're an alum of there, and you were also in the Florida-Georgia Football Hall of Fame in that game. Who do you feel like moving forward would be a good fit for Florida?
I think you have to have a guy that has had success at the highest level, a guy that's coached and won in the SEC. You know, the days of being able to hire the next up-and-comer, that formula has not worked in recent hires from Florida. So I think it has to be somebody that has an established resume. You know, I'm not going to, you know, my job with the SEC Network, I'm not going to call for one coach to leave one school in the SEC to go to another, but everybody knows the names that are being talked about right now. And you know, I don't think you have the luxury on in doing anything other than something that is going to get the fan base excited with both what they've done on their resume and what the style of football is. Winning at Florida is not enough. You have to win with a certain style, and that style is scoring points with a fun offense. And so, you know, I think those are the type of things that Florida fans, or what Scott Strickland and the rest of the people charged with making this hire, will be looking for.
Chris, how crazy is it in this era of college football? We could be sitting here very soon with Florida State and Florida looking for brand new head coaches.
Yeah, I mean, the list of Power 5 blue blood schools, or Power 4 blue blood schools that are already in need of hiring new coaches, there's obviously a lot of other jobs that probably are going to come open. Yeah. But I think it's a statement on where we are with college athletics and college football specifically. When you have places like Indiana and Vanderbilt winning and putting themselves in the college football playoff conversation, and then you have places like Florida that are already eliminated from that, Auburn, who's already 0-4 in the conference for a third straight year. These are programs that aren't used to being in meaningful games when you get to the second half of the season. So when you ask boosters time and time again for money to build rosters, to bring in coaches, to fill out the staffs, and you're not getting that return on investment, there's only so much leeway you have. And so I think you're seeing patience running thin across the college football landscape right now.
And my final question for you, going to another SEC school that's open right now, Arkansas, who do you feel like would be an ultimate fit for the Hogs in Fayetteville?
Yeah, I can't speak to that one quite as well yet. Obviously, this is a program. Hunter Yurecek's done a great job with that entire athletic department. They won a lot of games, but he also hurt I think he heard Sam Pittman and the program when he said they are behind some of the other SEC schools, and it's tough for them to compete. You got to find out, you got to decide if you're what level of commitment you want to have to competing. And that's what Indiana did with hiring, re-upping Cignetti and the contract that they paid him. So I'm anxious to see what I would think in the SEC that Arkansas has some deeper pockets than a lot of schools outside of the state of Texas. So if they decide they're going to be serious about it, we will know about, you know, how serious based upon their hire.
Chris, look, man, I know that you've got to go to another show. Thank you for giving us just a few minutes of your time. Go Gators. Enjoy this off week before you guys travel to Jacksonville to take on the Georgia Bulldogs, and we will catch up with you later on this season, okay?
Sounds good, Stingray. Thanks for having me, man. Take care.
Go Gators.
Go Gators.
So that is going to wrap up the Chris Dorrien interview right here on the Stingray Show. When we come back, Heath and I are going to continue to dive into the Billy Napier situation. And then later on, we have another guest this evening joining us, and that will be Mr. College Football Tony Barnhart. That's all ahead on this edition of the Stingray Show. We are returning right after this commercial break.
Your old pal Spooky here, welcome you out to Spook Trail Haunted Maze. Spook Trail 269. Spook Trail!
Spook Trail Haunted Maze is one of Alabama's longest haunts, founded in 1989 and has been running strong since then. Over a quarter mile long outdoor maze in the woods through an old junkyard, through twists and turns into the darkness. If you are looking for an extreme adventure into some of the darkest areas of your mind, then this is the place for you. Due to the nature of their paths, you will be entering at your own risk. Look up Spook Trail Haunted Maze on Facebook to see what days are going to be open. Just minutes from Birmingham and Jasper in Quinton, Alabama. And remember,
Spook Trail!
We all enjoy the changing of the seasons. Fall is a special time to be thankful for our families and many blessings. It is also a great time, though, to review your insurance coverages. Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. The more you protect it, the more you save. With helpful customer service teams right here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide the insurance plan that provides the protection that you need. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577 or drop by his office at 202 McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, with Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Watch for an accident south on Highway 69 at Upper Hull Road. West on McFarland from Jack Warner Parkway to Coker, it's a 13-minute drive. North on Lurline Wallace from 15th Street to McFarland, a 7-minute drive. And east on McFarland from Coker to Jack Warner Parkway, a 15-minute drive. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
So, when...
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. I really do want to thank Chris Dorrien for joining me yesterday when the news broke about Billy Napier. And Heath, your thoughts on Billy Napier being let go by the Florida Gators?
I understand it. At the same time, I thought they might give him a little bit more time. He's had plenty of time. But I thought they might give him maybe to the end of the season. I thought he would at least make it into November before they made this announcement. You know, and Steven, it wouldn't be unheard of if they gave him one more season. I didn't think that was ever going to happen. But this was coming to a head. And I really think that third down call in their last possession, I think that just sent everybody over to the top.
Yeah.
I bet. It was like he was trying to lose the game. It's just crazy. That offensive play call on their last offensive possession on third down, just run the clock. And, you know, it's just insane of how that went down. But this isn't the first time Billy Napier has had some really bad decisions late in games.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. You're Scott Strickland. Who are you calling first to be the replacement of Billy Napier at Florida? And then I will give you mine.
My first call is going to be to the NCAA office in Indianapolis and see how hard is that show calls ban on Jim Harbaugh. See if I can't get him to come back. I don't think Jim Harbaugh will ever be the coach at Florida. I don't think we'll ever see Jim Harbaugh back in college football ever again. I don't think that's a thing. I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, let's just call it what it is, Stephen. Florida, before Steve Spurrier, didn't work. He was a superstar. He was an offensive genius. It worked great. Offense was all over the field. It worked. And then you had some defensive guys, and it didn't work after Spurrier left to go coach the Redskins. And then you bring in Urban Meyer, this great offense, and the spread offense, the spread option. And they won national titles. They won Heismans. It was great. Everything was going wonderful. And then you go and hire a defensive coach, and it didn't. I mean, you can't hire a Slick Willie Muschamp or a Ron Zook. You cannot make a defensive hire. Florida wants big-time points. They want style points. They want swagger. That's what Urban Meyer had. That's what Steve Spurrier had. That's the only thing that works. That is the only thing that works in Gainesville. They don't want to win games, 24-20. They don't want that. They don't want to win games 17-14. They don't want that. They want to win games 44-38. They want to win games 52-21. They want to blow you out and embarrass you. That's what they want. So, Steven, who's an offensive-minded coach that can do that, not name Lane Kiffin? I mean, everyone's screaming his name. But who would you call?
I'm going to go with a guy who got his team to the national championship last year and was the runner-up. My first call would be to Mr. Marcus Freeman in Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana. That guy can flat-out coach. He is an up-and-coming coach, and his players seem to like him. Oh, and by the way, Notre Dame absolutely embarrassed USC this past weekend at home. That's a major, major accomplishment there for Notre Dame, especially after losing games to Miami and to Texas A&M the way that they did. Another guy that I would call, and that, of course, would be Minnesota's P.J. Fleck. Now,
Great coach.
Yeah, he is a phenomenal coach, and yeah. I think he would work well in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, row the boat. I mean, it's so hard to get players to Minnesota. It's hard to get players in the cold.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's a cultural issue because you're recruiting the Midwest, and Minnesota is very out there. I'll leave it at that. We all know what happens in Minnesota. I mean, look, I think this says everything. Ronald Reagan won 49 of 50 states. The one state he didn't win, Minnesota. They had a wrestler as governor, Jesse the Body Ventura. They've had some weird guys there in Minnesota. So, yeah, I can understand P.J. Fleck wanting to get out of there. Yeah. And who doesn't want to leave snowy, icy Minnesota for the sunshine state in Gainesville, Florida, with swamps and mosquitoes?
And Heath, that just pushes Arkansas on down the list, unfortunately, of job openings, because like we talked about last week with Kevin Bohanna, Arkansas coming open and Florida coming open. Florida is a much better gig and an easier gig than Arkansas because of the talent pool in the state of Florida.
Yeah, and on top of that, Penn State's come open. Florida's come open. Do I think Arkansas is going to get a good coach? I think. I mean, Arkansas makes some weird hires, man. I mean, you remember John L. Smith? I mean, they picked that guy. They could have had Philip Fulmer, who won a national title, come in for their interim coach, and they go with John L. Smith. Like, I still don't understand that decision.
Yeah.
And John L. Smith turned a 10-win team into just, oh, my gosh, he turned it into rock bottom. I mean, it was so bad so quick. So, you know, the Chad Morris hire, it didn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Sam Pittman hire didn't make a lot of sense. Bielema hire made a lot of sense, and Bielema was successful, and they ran him off too early. And I think they wish they would have kept him because Bielema's having great success at Illinois, who never wins. So, yeah, I mean, this is going to be a crazy coaching carousel and an extreme one because, Steven, so many SEC coaches are having really great years and a lot of jobs are coming open. And so SEC coaches are heavily going to get a pay raise or they're going to get a new gig. No matter what, there's going to be a lot of guys making a lot of money known as head coaches in the SEC when it comes to football next season. I mean, it is amazing to see what's happening.
And the last thing before we get a break that I will say about the Florida job, it is a more difficult job now in the state of Florida because not only do you have to deal with in-state recruiting, but back when Steve Spurrier was doing it and Urban Meyer, Miami was down at the time. It looks like now that Mario Cristobal has brought that team back. As of last week's rankings, they were ranked third in the country. So that hurts a little bit from a recruiting standpoint. And of course, you've got Central Florida, who is now there in Orlando as a Power Four school, as well as, if you guys will remember, they are now in the Big 12. So not only are you having to deal with Miami coming back and the resurgence of Central Florida and South Florida, but Florida State could be opening up because they're not happy with Mike Norvell. So things are going to get really interesting in the Sunshine State over the next few months.
Yeah, you know, you can have two successful teams in Florida because, I mean, we saw when Miami was great and Florida State was great back in the 80s. And then in the 90s, we saw Florida State be great along with Florida. Those great, you know, Steve Spurrier, Bobby Bowden matchups, or as some people would call it, the old ball coach, Diddy, going at it. So you look at those things and see that. But Central Florida has really upped things there at their school. South Florida has really come on. You know, Miami is a power player right now. Florida State had a lot of success just a couple of years ago. Florida is trying to get back into it. It's crazy of what's going on in the state of Florida, but it has shown over and over again. When one of those gets a slight lead, it takes off. Right now, that's Miami, but Miami is also known to give it away so fast too. So it's crazy to see what's happening down there. But I will say Florida State usually is more consistent, but they haven't been. That's since Bobby Bowden stepped down. Jimbo had some success there, but they've been up and down since Jimbo. And same thing with Spurrier. There's other people that have had success there. I mean, even Will Muschamp made some bowl games. But, you know, Dan Mullen made New Year's Six games. Ron Zook made bowl games. Urban Meyer won national titles. And that's what Florida wants. And that's what you got to go get.
All right. And Heath, that is going to wrap up this segment of the Stingray Show. We have another guest joining us on the other side of this break, and that is going to be Mr. College Football Tony Barnhart will join us to recap some of the greatest moments of the first half of the season and talk about the Florida head coaching job. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show, and we will be right. It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. That's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people come and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show.
Stay up to date with the Crimson Tide, local high school sports, and Bama in the Pros right here
on Tide 100.9.
It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season.
Welcome back, SEC fans. You're listening to the Stingray Show here on Tide 100.9. And Stingray and I are joined by Mr. College Football here on the phone. Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart, how in the world are you doing today, sir?
Guys, can you believe it? You know, when we got together during the summer, we thought that the season would never, ever get here. And now we've completed 8 Saturdays going into our night. It's ridiculous, but it's fun because based on what I'm looking at, we're going to have a heck of a November.
Yeah, and it's also the games in November are the ones that you remember.
That's right.
I love that saying because it's true. It's absolutely true. Tony, let's ask the burning question. Everyone's beating it to death, so we're going to beat it to death very quickly and short. Florida. Where does Florida turn? I think they have to go after an offensive mastermind. They have to go after a superstar. I don't think Lane Kiffin is available. What do you think about that situation and job?
Well, I know this. If I'm Scott Strickland, the AD at Florida, whom I've known for a long, long time, he is going to make Lane Kiffin say no, okay? Mm-hmm. Whatever it takes, because the things that you just described are exactly what Florida needs in their next head football coach. Obviously, he's one of the most brilliant play callers of our generation. But at the same time, he's also a rock star. And boy, the Gators need a rock star now. So I have no idea who it's going to be. But all I know is they're going to sit down with Lane Kiffin or Lane Kiffin's representative and says, okay, what is it going to take? And I promise you, the Bull Gators, as they call them, will be more than happy to step up to pay that bill.
Tony, I do want to ask you, looking back at the tenure of Billy Napier, why do you feel like that it just didn't work out down in Florida?
Well, a couple of things. There were some close games that could have gone another way that would have helped him out early. But the fact of the matter is, under the, you have Billy Napier, Florida had some of the toughest schedules they've ever had. And I think that has something to do with it. But they, it always, you know, with as talented as DJ Lagway, the quarterback is, it just never seemed like he had complete control. I just talked to a bunch of people about him, and they talked about his footwork and all the fundamental stuff that even at this point in his career, he didn't get right. So the Gators have had not a problem landing great quarterbacks in the past, and so they got to get a rock star at coach, a rock star at quarterback.
Tony, if you had to guess a number for the Portal King himself, Lane Kiffin, to go to Florida, and I'm sure there's some players that would follow him from Oxford, and there's players all over the country that would want to play for him, offensive linemen, receivers, quarterbacks, you name it. People want to play for him. How much money do you think it takes per season for Lane Kiffin to be the head coach of Florida? Is it north of $11 million?
We'll put it this way. Who is the most highly paid coach in the Southeastern Conference?
Kirby Smart.
How much is he making?
Oh, gosh. I know it's more than 10. It's 8 figures plus.
13. That's where the conversation begins.
Wow.
Well, here's the people don't understand. Well, they just figured that Lane Kiffin's going to jump all over that Florida job. But what people don't understand is that Lane Kiffin is in a sweet, sweet place right now. Oxford's a great place to live. They give him the resources he needs. They leave him alone. It's not crazy town like some places in this conference are. So I got to believe, and if I'm Scott Strickland's representative, the conversation is either going to start at 13 million or not too far from that.
Wow.
So, Tony, I did want to ask you about another job that is open right now, and that is up in Fayetteville, Arkansas, with Razorbacks. Who do you feel like would be a good fit at Arkansas?
Well, the people who are telling me that it's not going to be Bob Petrino, I don't buy that. I mean, his teams have played well, and we'll see, but there are a lot of good coaches out there, but that's a hard job. It's a real hard job. If you gave me some names, I'd probably say yes, no. But I think that's going to be an interesting for Hunter Yurecek decision for him to decide.
Tony, looking at the season so far in the SEC, who have you been the most impressed with this season?
Alabama and Georgia. Everybody else is flawed. Now, I love watching Vanderbilt, and we're going to get to see Vanderbilt, Missouri, in a great game, and I'm looking forward to that. But right now, Georgia and Alabama are the two best teams in the conference, in my opinion. The way that Georgia has come back time after time after time to win that game on Saturday against Ole Miss, that was an incredible performance, and I really like what Alabama has, since losing the opener to Florida State, Alabama has gotten better and better and better and better. And Simpson has become an elite quarterback.
Where do you feel like that Texas A&M is flawed?
They're flawed in their ability to stop the run. They have been giving up too many. They gave up too many yards when they played Florida a couple of weeks ago. So that's where they're flawed, because they've got the quarterbacks, they've got the running backs, they play pretty good defense overall, except for the ability to stop the run. And that's when you play a Georgia and you play an Alabama, that's when it's going to really show up.
What's one team that you think might be making a head coaching hire that we're not seeing this year? I'll go on and put it on the line. I think there's going to be a change at LSU. I think Brian Kelly slips out overnight. I think he takes a job because I think the coaching carousel is going to be big this year. Is there something that we're missing or something that you've heard that could be a situation brewing at another SEC school where they might be making a hire that we don't expect?
Well, I don't know if expected or not, but I have to believe Kentucky's going to make a change. I think Mark Stoops has done an incredible job there, but you can see the momentum. They're losing the momentum in that program. So I think that will definitely be one for sure.
So guys, we are up against another break, and when we come back, we are going to dive into more of the season here in the SEC. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will return with Mr. College Football right after this. Tony, do you have another 10 minutes you could give us?
I do.
Okay.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we're going to talk to Mike Dettillier, WWL, the Big 870. We'll do a Southern Ohio score prediction day. We'll talk to Dalton Wasserman from ProFootballFocus.com. And we're going to also talk with one of the newest commitments to the University of Alabama, Trent Seaborn, committed from Thompson High School. He'll join us right here on The Game on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again, at 205-799-0192 to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. West on McFarland from Jack Warner Parkway to Coker, it's a 13-minute drive. Crews have been doing some tree trimming along McFarland at Campus Drive. Also watch for construction on Skyland Boulevard between I-359 and Buttermilk Road. And if you're traveling on Highway 69 North from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard, it's a 7-minute drive. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
So, did you miss any episode on Tide 100.9? Don't worry. All of our shows can be found on Spotify and Apple Music and on demand on the Tide 100.9 app.
Your old pal Spooky here, welcome you out to Spook Trail Haunted Maze. Spook Trail 269. Spook Trail!
Spook Trail Haunted Maze is one of Alabama's longest haunts, founded in 1989 and has been running strong since then. Over a quarter mile long outdoor maze in the woods through an old junkyard, through twists and turns into the darkness. If you are looking for an extreme adventure into some of the darkest areas of your mind, then this is the place for you. Due to the nature of their paths, you will be in entering at your own risk. Look up Spook Trail Haunted Maze on Facebook to see what days they're going to be open. Just minutes from Birmingham and Jasper in Quinton, Alabama. And remember,
Spook Trail! Ah!
welcome back inside the Stingray Show. Our second guest of the evening is Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. And, of course, Tony has been around for a long time and covered a lot of college football. And, Tony, how surprised are you as we sit here going into week number 9 that the preseason number 1 team, Texas, has had so many issues on the offensive side of the football?
They just look very disoriented. And you know, look, Arch Manning is going to be a very good quarterback. He's just not a very good quarterback now. But he is going to get there. He showed some things against Oklahoma that makes you believe they're going to be there. So, yeah, I was one of those people who had Texas as the number one team. And it's been difficult to watch. But they'll get there. It's not going to get there this year.
Tony, the one thing that I love about college football is everything being so unpredictable. And I love it when chaos happens. We got a game coming up with Missouri and Vanderbilt.
All right.
And the winner of that game has the inside track to the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts real quick about Missouri and Vandy this season. And your thoughts.
This is great. I mean, this, you think about that, and you talk about what Missouri's done and what Vanderbilt has done, and Diego Pavia, you know, is he going to make it to New York? And I just, I mean, this is just an incredible game. And you're right. The winner of this game, this is a separation game. The winner of this game is in very good shape, and it's going to be fun. I was thinking about traveling this weekend, but I decided I'm going to stay home and watch that game because it's going to be fun. And Pavia, just when you think he can't impress you anymore, you see what he did. What he did last week. I mean, the guy can just flat play.
And Tony, I do want to also get your thoughts. What do you feel like is going wrong down on the plains with Hugh Freeze and Auburn? Auburn is always so close, but they just cannot seem to get over mm-hmm. the hump. Your thoughts on the future of Hugh Freeze at Auburn?
Well, he's 0-4 in the SEC yet again. I think that's 3 times in a row he's been 0-4 in the SEC, and he's just got to win some of these games. Auburn impressed me, I think it was a couple of weeks ago. They played just good enough to break your heart. I mean, they get you there, and it looks like you ought to be able to close the game out. Well, take Georgia, for example. Georgia has shown itself to be a team that knows how to close games out in the fourth quarter by making the plays and running the ball the way that they did against Ole Miss. Auburn, conversely, just can't seem to put together a drive out of game. And they're in a good position. Now, they haven't gotten embarrassed, but they can't seem to make the plays to close out a game. And that's tough. You got to do it.
Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football, is our guest this evening. And, Tony, it's always wonderful to talk to you to get your insight because you know everybody, you know things, and you hear things that the rest of us don't. What's one thing that we might can expect here in the SEC that could be happening later this season, something that you might have heard or something you're looking forward to?
Well, I'm sort of looking forward to seeing who exactly is going to be in the SEC championship game. Because I think that will end up meaning something. But I sit here and look at the roster. My goodness.
I mean, you know, Alabama, Oklahoma on November 15th is a game that I'm looking forward to. You know, Texas going to Georgia that same day, November 14th. That's a historic game. Texas has never played in Athens, and that will be an absolute good one. LSU, you brought up LSU. I don't know what's going to happen there. As you said, because of the transfer, the portal of coaches is so big right now. Maybe Brian Kelly takes that as an opportunity to exit stage right. Who knows? But we'll see. Somebody's going to beat somebody they're not supposed to beat down the stretch because we've got so many good teams in this league. The conference goes deeper than I've ever seen it in terms of good teams. Not sure we've got a great team.
Alabama could be a great team. Georgia could be a great team, but it's going to be a lot of fun in November.
I want to also get your thoughts on a team out of Starkville, Mississippi, Mississippi State, and unfortunately, this past weekend, they dropped to 0-15 in the last 15 SEC games, but they are much improved from a team last year. Your thoughts on the Bulldogs going forward, please.
You got to stick with him. You got to stick with Jeff Levy. The guy's a great offensive mind. And they are right there. That this is one of those memories where times when you start lose close games, but hey, you know, can this guy get it done? And I think Jeff Levy can get it done if they'll just be patient.
Tony, I wanted to ask you real quick. James Franklin's looking for a job. He was so successful at Vanderbilt. Seems like most of the fan bases around the SEC enjoyed Franklin, but they never enjoyed playing his teams. Does he happen to make his way back this year? Or next season into the SEC as head coach?
Well, I don't know that it happens this season. I think for a lot of guys, you know, he's going to get another job. He's not going to be unemployed very, very long at all. But I've known a lot of coaches who have been doing it a long time. He's been doing it more than 30 years. You take 1 year off. That's all. You take 1 year off to stay close to the game and learn some things. And I got a feeling that James Franklin will do that, and he'll be back coaching in 2026, 2027, I guess it is.
All right. And finally, this has been an absolute blast. Who should be on upset alert in the SEC in week number 9, in your opinion?
I'm sitting here looking at my list right now. You know, if this had been a few weeks ago, I thought maybe South Carolina would have a chance to knock off Alabama. Oh, by the way, this is the 15th anniversary of South Carolina beating Alabama in Bryce Williams Stadium, Williams-Bryce Stadium. But I don't think that is going to happen sitting there, Texas A&M and LSU. That's going to be an interesting game. It really is. Ole Miss at Oklahoma. Does Ole Miss bounce back from a tough, tough loss? That was a tough loss for them. Georgia just basically took control of the game. So it's going to happen. The game of the week, though, is Missouri at Vanderbilt. That's the one that I'm going to be looking at.
Tony, the one quick question I want to ask you before as we walk out the door. I'm sure if I think about it and research it, I can find multiple seasons and probably recent, but I was telling Stephen last week on the show, this year is so different in the SEC. There's so many coaches that are going to get pay raises or a new gig. Yep. So many teams are succeeding higher rather than the teams failing. And I was like, I think we might see more new coaches in the league this year of someone taking new and bigger and better jobs rather than coaches getting fired. Your thoughts on this season and the coaching carousel?
Yeah, I mean, is this a great country or what? I mean, you've got some coaches. Well, I will dip into the Big Ten. Kirk Cignetti, not that long ago, he was making $250,000 as a coordinator in college football. And this week, he has a contract that's going to pay him $11 million a year over 8 years. I mean, holy cow. But to give Indiana credit, they locked him in because normally Indiana would go, lock a guy in for football? Are you serious? And they did. So let's see how it pans out.
Tony, look, man, thanks as always. Go and enjoy watching Missouri and Vanderbilt. Have a wonderful week out there, and we will catch up with you next time, okay?
All right, guys. Take care.
Thank you.
So that is going to wrap up a very, very impactful Stingray show as we had Chris Doering on in the first segment. And then here the last two segments have been Mr. College Football Tony Barnhart. I want to thank both gentlemen for joining us this evening. When we come back on the Tuesday evening edition of the Stingray Show, right back here at 6 p.m., we're going to be previewing a game that College Game Day is going to this Saturday from Nashville, Tennessee. It will be Vanderbilt hosting Missouri. We are going to be joined by Brendan of the Mazzodcast and Chris Lee of Vandy 247. That is on the Tuesday evening edition of the Stingray Show. Stay tuned to Inside the Trenches right after this break with Gary Harris. Take it away, Gary, and we will catch you tomorrow evening right back here on the Stingray Show at 6 p.m.